for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Well, hello everyone. Welcome to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry. And guess what today is, guys? It is the start day, the kickoff day, the exciting day that we begin the whole journey towards balance in a very deeper and more profound way between the months of July and August. I love that we are doing this. This is the first time that we are doing a book and taking one book, one theme, and rolling it out over 2 months. That means you guys are going to be the most perfectly balanced people. Well, or know how to get the balance for yourself. Anyways, after this time. Okay, so let's just dive in here because this topic is a huge one. And it's no wonder our overwhelmed society is often at a loss as to whether it's achievable or not. That's that balance word. So this book is the third in the series of What's It Got to Do With It. So this is What's Balance Got to Do With It. And we are being joined, oh my gosh, by a returning and frequent guest. It must be because she's really good, Dr. Erin Oxel. So first of all, let me welcome her on here. Hello. Hello, Erin.
Hi, everyone. Great to be with you.
Erin, what I love about you, and I'm going to tell everybody, first of all, Erin is we call her Dr. Erin for a reason. She's a speaker. She's a psychologist. She's a business coach, like crazy pants, awesome one. Number one best-selling author, I don't know how many times over now. DNA nutrition, fitness, skincare, crazy, awesome, intense woman, and you've got the world. Everybody's going to want to know about what you think about balance and how you seem to achieve it and the secret behind it, because many would say, like, how does Erin have so much going on and how does she keep it balanced? So I'm diving in with that one.
Oh, such a good question. Thank you, Lisa. This is such a great topic, isn't it? I think the concept of finding balance, at least for a lot of women that I know, has actually caused a lot of pain and suffering in their lives. And I'm really on mission to help people define it in such a way where they actually can achieve it for themselves. And so I'll give the ending of the movie away. Yes, you can find balance. Yes, you can have it all. But there's a way of viewing it that it is contingent on. So I think where we get so confused is we think a balanced life is one where we are spending equal time or hours in these different areas of our lives. And so we have these hats that we wear. Maybe we're moms and sisters and wives and business owners, and we are partakers of our own physical body, and we're spiritual beings and all these things. And I remember before really figuring this out, Lisa, just never really wanting to be where my feet were. You know, if I was staying at home with the kids, I felt bad that I wasn't using my PhD and working. If I was working, I felt like I should be home with the kids and all of that. And this is what changed everything when I truly realized that everyone's definition of success is individualized. And so if that is truly the case, which I believe it is, and in psychology, you know, all of my work with clients was all completely individualized, which makes perfect sense, right? But if you don't know what your definition of success is, you're at risk of missing yours and hitting someone else's. And so I love Maya Angelou's definition of success. Success is liking yourself, liking what you do, and liking how you do it. And so when you define that, then I believe balance, and here's the punchline. Balance is not achieved through equal time in all areas, but equal alignment and fulfillment in the areas. So some might look at my life and say, man, you spend a lot of time at the gym, or man, you spend a lot of your budget on your business, or man, you must be so busy, which is a four-letter word to me, by the way. Like, I abhor being busy. Like, so one of the biggest concepts is your understanding of what we're trying to achieve here, and that's equal levels of fulfillment in all your areas. So I spend very different amounts of time in all the areas in our lives that we all have, but I'm fulfilled in all areas of my life, so I have balance according to my own definition.
Yes. Okay. I have to jump that. I love that one. Okay. Fulfillment. You're talking fulfillment. And I think that's where we even start to question about, are we balanced? Do we have balance? How can I balance my life? Because we're not fulfilled. And now you said, I love this, equal alignment. Okay. I need more clarity for me, because when
So what are we aligning to? Yes.
Yeah. How is that? What is that?
Okay, so this is what we're aligning to. It's not the definition by the world. It's not the cultural. It's not what your family thinks you should be aligned to. I want you to think of, this is a really great exercise everyone can do. Think of the specific role you play or the area of your life, like parent or your finances or your physical health. And I want you to think of what three words would help you define your ideal self or life in that area. And once you define those three words, then that's what you're getting into alignment with. So if my three words as a mother are, I want to be present, inspiring, and a mentor, then when I'm with my children, I get to be focused on, am I being my ideal self? Now, that has nothing to do with how much time I'm spending with someone necessarily, okay? So that's the biggest crux. And the three words of your ideal self is what we call in psychology your identity. Mm-hmm. So if we are not in alignment with our identity, then we are going to be incongruent and have a sense of suffering. That's just it. Like, we're just going to suffer. Mm-hmm. So my three words, one of them is fit. Well, it kind of makes sense that I'm into fitness and health. And to me, it also means spiritual fitness. And so for me, I have to, like, for me, taking care of my physical body is directly linked to the kind of mother that I am, to the kind of wife that I am, because when I don't, just bad things happen. It's not the best errand. It's not the best look, right? Okay. So sometimes I wish fit wasn't such a big deal to me, because then I could eat whatever I wanted to eat, but it is. And so I have to honor that and be in alignment with that.
Yes.
So your alignment is what you care about and who you want to be on this planet.
Yes. And you know what? You said these two big words. Well, one word about suffering, right? And so I kind of am getting, like, when we are in balance, it's like we're guilt-free. We're free of guilt because we don't have to be guilty that we're
freedom.
Doing this over this.
Oh my
yes,
gosh.
Freedom.
You hit it on the head. I don't joke, but it's kind of cheesy. But my mission on the planet is to set the captives free. And I need freedom from... Yes, the bondage of unworthiness, of not having the confidence in yourself to keep the promises you make to yourself. All of those things, freedom to be your ideal self, the one that's aligned with your higher power. So yes, it's all about freedom. Yes, yes.
Yeah, and you know, when I'm imagining something, maybe you're trying to balance on a balance beam. Do you know that I love this, because that actually when you are finally in balance on that balance beam, you do feel a bit more free, because you're not constantly kind of have to maneuver here and compensate over there and be all shaky. Because I love this alignment, this three defining words. So
beautiful.
How many areas would you, okay, if somebody was going to do this exercise, how many areas should they sit down and kind of work with at first?
So kind of in the psychology and coaching world, generally speaking, we break it down into these six or seven. So I'll list them off for you.
Ooh, okay.
So these are the kind of the areas of your life. And this is called the wheel of life. You can Google it. You can see different definitions of it. But generally speaking, it's your family, maybe your intimate relationships, your love relationships, your work and mission, your social relationships, so friendships, your physical health, your spirituality, and your finances. So those are generally the big areas of, like, the piece of the pie. And here, imagine you're rating the pieces of the pie and 10 is on the outside. If you're in full alignment, you've got this perfectly balanced wheel, right? If you've got one out of alignment, you're going to go down the road like ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. And so it's why all of our areas of our life need to be in alignment for us to really feel the most freedom. And it's possible. It's totally possible.
Yes, I love that. I can imagine the wheel just rolling now. It's like, yeah, and not wobbling.
Right.
The I think that that's a such thing. We always equate balance with time. And it's how you feel about it. That's what the alignment to is, how you feel about it. Do you feel like when you are in balance, how much influence do you think you have on others to inspire them in balance? Like, do you think it just pops over to them and they're like, hey, I want to be like you? Or does it like more, do we get rejection? Like, ah, she's such in balance, I don't want to be around that because it shows me how much I'm not. Like, how much of a leader can we be in balance?
I think both probably exist. I probably have more access to the people that are attracted to me than the ones that are judging me, because I don't think they would tell me that to my face. But I definitely, I would say one of the most frequent questions I get is, Dr. Erin, how do you do it all? And you know what my answer is? I don't. That's the key. Yes. I don't do it all. I don't cook and clean. Don't hate me. I have been blessed by the sweet Lord above to have a husband that this works for. I don't cook and clean. Okay. If I had a husband where I needed to cook and clean, then I would have to figure out that piece of balance in my life. Okay. There's lots of things I didn't do when I was growing my business. I didn't remodel my house. I didn't spend money on vacations, even though I wanted to. So this whole like idea of having it all, right? It's again, completely based on your own definition of success for that phase of life that you're in. Another question I often get are, you must be so busy. And you know, I've joked earlier in the interview, like that's a four letter word to me. I've never met a child and you ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they said, I want to be busy. Like, no, I feel like I mean, true success, right, is liking what you do, liking how you do it, liking yourself, like Maya Angelou said. So the last thing I want to be is busy. I want to be fulfilled. I want my plate to feel abundantly blessed. I want to be doing exactly what I want to be doing. I believe that's self-actualization, right? And that's what everyone wants to do on this planet, is spend time doing what they love. And so, yeah, it's not about equal time at all.
That is, there's two things I'm so excited to jump on. I love that. I just had a conversation, literally, it was within the last couple of days. And I remember somebody saying, gosh, I just got to find out how to make money fast. Right. And that it hurt, like it actually hit me in the face and the heart and went, ouch. Oh, no. You want to find a thing you love to do. And, you know, then that comes back like, well, no, it's not, as long as you can make money. And I thought, oof. And I love that you said about feeling fulfilled, because they may make all that money, but they're not going to feel fulfilled. And then that's not going to offer them balance. Does balance also include feeling, like I want to say good, recognizing when you feel good and don't feel good about a situation and how you're living life?
So balance, yeah, I don't think balance is about being necessarily not having goals or saying, okay, I'm totally satisfied with where I'm at. That's a whole nother radio show we could do. But the thing about high performers and really successful people is they are dissatisfied strivers. Ooh. Write those two words down. Ooh. They are dissatisfied strivers. Now, they're not dissatisfied like complaining. So to be insanely successful, happy, joyous, and free and wealthy, gratitude is a requirement. All the research shows it. But gratitude doesn't mean I'm not open to receive all that I desire and work hard for it and continue on. And so I am equal parts satisfied where I am, and I'm open to receive and will work hard for all that I desire. And so, right, they kind of co-occur at the same time. Well, they do. And a lot of people think they're mutually exclusive categories, like you just must not be grateful if you want more. No, that's not true at all. I will always want more, because my mission on this planet is to fulfill my potential given to me by God above. I'll never be done. I'll never be done being the wife I want to be, right? That's always a work in progress. So, such a great topic. I mean,
you know what? Yeah, balance doesn't mean you're done. Okay, that is like the biggest
balance
right there.
Balance doesn't mean you're done. Yes.
I think a lot of people think that. They think, if I could just get done.
Balance changes on a whim. like whenever you have a new goal or a new phase of life or a new, okay, now we're doing soccer for three kids instead of one or whatever, balance is going to shift, right? And so balance is always evolving.
I think that you just gave a lot of people, oh, like relief, like a big sigh, like, oh God, thank gosh, yeah. Balance. If I want to achieve balance, it doesn't mean I have to get it all done. That is, I mean, yeah. I'm feeling it right now. Like, whoa, yay.
And getting it all done is productivity is a measure of moving the needle on your dreams. Productivity also has nothing to do with hours worked, which is another radio show. I mean, productivity by itself, we got the whole definition of that wrong. So yes. Productivity is a measure of how well you're moving your dream forward. How are you moving the needle on the things that matter most? So you can see that it doesn't matter what your job title is. You can be balanced. Like yes. It has nothing to do with these worldly constructs that we've placed upon it.
I just remembered last time we had that, you were on the, as the show, last time you were on the show as a guest, I try to say things so fast, I can't get it out. we did the, I remember drawing the dashboard with the needle, and I'm loving mm-hmm. that image because I just, right now it's connecting some dots for me and hopefully for everybody listening that you just said productivity is when you measure how far the needle's moving towards your dream. Now, if yes. we were productive and we were not moving the needle towards our dream, but just on something because we were had to do it, told to do it, and weren't really passionate and didn't feel fulfilled, that needle wouldn't move on that.
No, that's called busy. And sometimes we have to do things we don't like. I'm not saying that. Yes. I mean, I'm a big fan of even staying in jobs to fund your dream, right? Yes. But it's, yes, productivity is how well you're moving the needle on the things that matter most to you.
This is a personal, let's get to know Dr. Aaron about balance, the thing here. You have written the foreword in the book, What's Balance Got to Do with It? And not the chapter. I mean, you could have written a whole book on this, I'm sure yourself as well. In your, where does writing and continuing your authorship show up as a balance in your life, in your area?
Well, I'm so blessed to be in this book, and you're all going to be blessed by reading this book. Writing is an interesting thing. I grew up with a mother who was a graphic designer at the Mayo Clinic, so very artistic. And I always thought of myself as I didn't get the creative gene. And I realized being an entrepreneur and my writing is where I am an artist. And so when one is a writer or a thought leader, which is just a fancy word for, you know, creating a lot of content in the world and sharing it on social media and with all the people, I realized that I start to view my day-to-day through the lens of a writer. And so when you know that you're going to be writing, Seth Godin talks about this. Seth Godin has written a blog since 1978 or something, every single day. And he says when you know you're going to be writing, you start to see the world through a writer's eyes and ears and you look for things. And so I'm always just kind of translating what I see in the world, and I'm kind of sifting it through my lens of what I want to share in terms of my mission as a business coach, et cetera. And so my writing, I guess, comes through and is inspired almost on a daily of just how I see the world now.
I love that. And that probably helps that processing of how you see things, then translate them.
It does, yeah.
That's balancing right there. That helps you to keep your, all those thoughts. Like we think, so. I love it. Can our thoughts be busy? And how do we balance our thoughts so that, like I like that you're processing them, filtering them, and then figuring out how you want to share them. And that does allow you to balance so you're not overloaded on one side or the other. When we have that busy head and we don't write, like, is it important? Yes. How important is it that we find our vehicle to be creative?
Yeah, there's a lot of research, Lisa, that talks about getting it out of your head and onto paper. Something about the kinesthetics of that yes. will let your brain kind of release it. And so it's very, very powerful. And in these days of, you know, we're in the information age. Do you think our brains are going to get less busy or more busy? I mean, we're only just getting busier up there, right? It's like the committee that never stops talking up there, right? And so we have to learn. There are many ways to quiet down the committee, but writing is a really effective way of, I'll do that throughout my day. I'll actually use my phone, my notes app on my phone if I have a great idea. So I'm not necessarily writing, but I'm getting it out of my head of, I don't want to forget that I just thought this. And then it's all there. So yes, everyone needs to really, you'll find freedom in compartmentalizing and making sure those thoughts have a place to go.
Yes. Yeah. And that is a huge part of being balanced. You know, because if we're heavily weighed on, if we're focused on trying not to forget something or trying to, or, you know, yeah. When they say about even conversation, when you're listening, and sometimes I forget, I'll listen to you and I'll think, oh, wait, I have to say something. I forgot because I was actually listening. And so,
right. You were actually listening, which is a beautiful trait. Well, I think being present is really related to being balanced, because if the definition of being balanced is I'm aligned and I'm fulfilled, you cannot be aligned and fulfilled if you are distracted. You must be present. And so, yes, this all circles back to this discussion.
Yeah, this is actually staying right on track.
Right. We brought it back.
We just brought that back. And just a big question to add for, I'll have to use this word now, distraction. I actually talked about this on the Facebook Live, so this is so interesting. I was asking the question earlier about when you were being balanced, like sometimes we're interested in things to a certain degree that we can commit to them, but sometimes we get distracted and then we no longer have that interest maybe, or the commitment backs off. And is that just a part of calibrating and your balance and finding out where you're in alignment to, or is it just simply like we have to figure out how to be more present and stop these crazy distractions?
You know, pre-COVID, pre-quarantine, I would have answered this question a little differently. I would have said, we live in such a distracted world, but we don't even need other people to distract us. We're so good at distracting ourselves, right? And it was all about, like, manage yourself. And then COVID happened. And then all the distractions came home to live with us. And all the distractions, you know, our lives got even more, for many of us, complicated, distracting, and you realize these people aren't distractions, they're my family. Okay, so professionals, when you look at amateurs versus professionals understand how to manage and almost dance with distractions. And so if you look at like a professional basketball player and you think of them shooting the free throw at the, you know, and what do you imagine? Everyone in the back of the free throw on the other team is waving those crazy things, right? And they're trying to distract him or her.
Yes.
When you ask that professional athlete, like, can you see them, or are you just trying to get tunnel vision and just try to just stay in your lane? They say, no, I'm integrating every single thing in the stadium. I am actually not trying to distract, right? They're not trying to avoid. They're actually integrating with massive detail and being hyper-focused on being in the present moment. They will say things like, I can smell the popcorn. I can see my mom sitting in the fifth row. So they're doing this thing called dancing with the distractions. And I think post-COVID, I think that's what we're having to learn how to do. If I got stress is like I'm having too much or not enough of something. If I got stressed with every time my son interrupted us while I was on a Zoom call, okay, that would be a very bad existence, right? So I have to learn the ability to dance with my distractions now. I just think it's a different time. And
that
we're
was
only
the
gonna
most
get
incredible.
More distracted, right? Wasn't that incredible? That, yeah. Good. I'm glad you like.
I am floored right now about the integrating. They didn't say, no, I'm not trying to, okay. So thank you. First of all, I think you just like helped me. I'm going to be walking around all day long today going, nope, I'm not avoiding that or not trying to pay attention or tune it out. I'm actually going to see how I can do, because you're right. I would get like, originally, like I've got two Bengals and they talk more than I do. They're loud and Lucy screams like literally like, mom. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. And I can't control that. So I would get stressed about it, thinking, oh, it's so my balance was thrown. And you know what? You're right. It's we have to, like, it's just there. It's there, and other people learn to just dance with it. That is incredible and so helpful.
Good.
I know that people
Good.
Are hearing that right now. That's amazing. Now, just because I have you for another one more minute, Is there anything, like, you know, it's so tough because you everything you say is so helpful. But what is the newest thing that you've incorporated in your life that has helped you continue to balance your happiness and get have balance in your life?
I think it's this concept that we're in also because of what's happening in the world of being all in. And I'll speak really quickly to it. Ooh. I think we're living in a gig economy, and the gig stands for most people have a side gig. Most people are doing more than one thing is in terms of income. If you look at millionaires, they have 7 to 8 streams of income. So how are they all in all these different areas of business or their life? Yeah. How do we do more than one thing well? And I think especially with unemployment where it's at and people needing side gigs, I want them to realize that being all in is actually more of a mental decision. It's an emotional, like, I'm all in, I'm going to see this through. It's like a no matter what it takes versus I'm all in with all of my time. People are really confusing being all in with being, it gets all their time. I have multiple streams of income, but I would say I am all in every area of my life. I don't spend all day with my kids, but I would say I'm all in as a parent. I'm going to see this through to the end. I'm going to see, like, I've never considered, like, not being an all-in parent. No, I'm all in. So what does that mean? I think in this day and age, when we have multiple things we need to do, that you can learn to be all in, which again means I'm going to be present when I am present. When I am in that activity, I'm going to be fully present. Wherever my feet are, that's where I'm going to be. So being all in is a psychology more than time.
Oh, wow. That is so helpful and so soothing. Well, thank you, Dr. Erin. Erin Oxel, everyone, Dr. Erin Oxel, get her latest book and get the What's Balance Got to Do With It. We are coming back after commercial break with our second guest and first of the authors in the series. Thank you, Erin. Bye.
Bye.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Hi, this is David Strickle. I'm excited to share my brand new show, The Stream of David Live, right here on Om Times Radio. Each week, I'll have exciting guests, and I'll channel the eternal wisdom of The Stream, a group of non-physical entities whose teachings have transformed lives all over the world. So join us for an uplifting hour each Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern. That's The Stream of David Live, right here on Om Times Radio.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, you guys. You're listening to Light on Living, and we are continuing this lovely series that you're going to hear throughout July and August, first and third Mondays of the month at 12 p.m. Eastern. And we are just diving in deep with balance as we explore the book from the series. This book is called What's Balance Got to Do With It? And each co-author has brought to this book a real and raw story to help you understand how unique balance is for each individual. We've got tools and mindset tips and lessons learned. And those are really gifts that they are sharing with you because they're something that they've found so valuable in their lives to get them through some really big, tough moments. So my first co-author of this book and our second guest of today's show is Lily Ahoin. And I'm going to hope that I said that properly, Lily. Wonderful. Lily, I want to share with people just a little of your bio here so they, because I read it and I was like, oh my gosh, I am a co-author with like a really cool chick here. So everybody, Lily Ahoin is a nurse and caregiver for medically fragile children. She loves to travel and has been to over 40 countries. Lily enjoys activities like running with bulls, car racing, rappelling down buildings for charity, and skydiving. She hopes to finish her private pilot's license one day. I believe she will. Lily holds the title of Miss Galaxy Calgary 2020-21 and was the 2019 National Canadian Miss Calgary title holder. She is an ambassador for Gems for Gems, assisting survivors of domestic violence and volunteers with many other local organizations. She is currently working on a bachelor's degree through Athabasca University and plans to complete a master's degree in equity studies. You are so good. She was recently awarded a makeup artist diploma and plans to work in runway fashion shows internationally. I'm going to be asking for tips after the show. Hi, Lily. Welcome.
Hi. Hi, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, I got to finish reading your chapter this morning, and I love reading them just before I have, you know, guests on, because this is called Beyond the Chapter. And yes, I want them to read your story. We won't give away too much here, but enough that people know that they're like, hey, I'm going through this, or I've gone through this, and I need to know how to continue. But I'm going to choose some things that I would really like to go a little bit deeper with on the channel, the chapter. And like, you just, oh my gosh, you have so much energy even just thinking about you, to be honest, that I'm going to have to ground myself. You wrote in this one line, it jumped out at me. It says, during your life, you were always on high alert. Mm-hmm. Now, speaking about balance, that is, can you speak to that? Like how you must have felt, how did that happen to you, that you were always on high alert, and did you have balance when that was going on?
No, definitely not. I grew up in a quite dangerous neighborhood, and I was almost kidnapped a couple of times, actually. And there were a lot of people who were drug users in the neighborhood, and lots of predators in the neighborhood, and a lot of crime as well, like tons and tons and tons of crime, a lot of stabbings, break-ins. Police cars were always around with the sirens going, so you always kind of had to be, it was really hard to be just kind of calm and relaxed, because you always had to kind of watch over your shoulder to make sure that you kind of knew your surroundings and what was going on.
Yes, and I think a lot of people can relate that. They're like, they're not sure what's going to happen next, and so it's, and you use the word predators just now, and my next word that I kind of pulled out from your thing was like, people were trying to exploit you. And mm-hmm. and again, this, I would love for you just to go a little deeper with people right now, that high alert, like wondering, am I being taken advantage of? Have you found balance through that, or do you have to work through, how do you just get rid of predators? How did you do that?
I think probably a big part of it is just not being vulnerable to be taken advantage of, making sure that I think at some point I think I felt like I had to kind of put everyone else's needs first all the time, and I didn't have very high self-worth for myself. Mm-hmm. And so I think being in that kind of position, it's easy for people to take advantage of you, definitely. So I think finding balance in that situation is just to have just better self-love, better opinion of yourself, better self-esteem, and just know that you deserve more. And just also knowing, like, what to look out for. And knowing what you deserve, like having reciprocal relationships, things like that. And just knowing that you deserve to be treated with respect and as a human being.
you know, you've come a long way, because it sounds like you must have had that. Maybe we all do. Maybe I'll ask you that. Like, do we all have the little seed in us that starts and we just have to nurture it so that we do know that we're worth it?
I think a lot of it depends on just your support network and things like that. Like when I was growing up, I didn't have a lot of support.
Right.
From family, just because of circumstances. So I kind of grew up kind of just by myself with the neighborhood kids. And so I think that's a huge deciding factor in just like how you feel about yourself, sense of belonging to a community, and just knowing that you feel supported or not. So I think when you don't have the support around you, like from family or friends or from the community, I think it's really easy to have kind of low feelings of self-worth, definitely.
Mm, I can feel this, like sometimes in order to find our balance, it's like we kind of need, yeah, some people to hold us up. Like maybe you're a little lopsided, you know, you're lopsided and you're like, oh, I'm going to go this way. So somebody helps pull you back this way. And it's important to, you so demonstrate, especially as I was reading through the chapter, it's like some people like push you off balance. And mm-hmm. So have to have that. Can you speak to being vulnerable? That's an interesting word. Because as you're a child and you're growing up, and did you just go, wow, I'm vulnerable, or I'm being vulnerable, or how do I stop being vulnerable? That's a big word for balance, for vulnerability.
I think you just have to have healthy boundaries and kind of know what's appropriate and what's not. And I think to have that, you need to have the right kind of support network around you. Like it's almost like a scale. Like even if you are doing well on your own and you know what you want, you could have like kind of positive people, the kind of community around you pulling you up to reach your goals and to feel good about yourself, feel like you belong, and to set positive boundaries and be treated with respect. And then also there's the other side where if you're surrounded by toxic and negative people and you're having kind of a one-sided relationship where you're kind of doing everything for other people and not for yourself, then it's easy to kind of be pulled down, I would say, definitely.
It feels like we could... I think we can all easily at least recognize if we have encouragement in our lives. I like that you said that, like your community is there to help, you know, even if you feel like you're doing really well and you're doing stuff, but the community and your environment is encouraging you to continue reaching for the stars and not tell you that I need more from you. You've got enough. Why don't you do for me? Mm-hmm. You have an interesting quote that no is a sentence, a full sentence. I love that. Is that something you say or you came up with? And just, yeah, talk to that about that. That's great.
I think a lot of times, especially as women and mothers, we've just been kind of conditioned a lot of the time just to always do things for other people, put other people's needs first, whether it's for our spouse or our kids or anything. And a lot of the time, if we do take on that role of kind of the people pleaser and the fixer and the carer, I think it can sometimes go a little bit too far. And then at that point, if you suddenly start saying like, I can't do this, like people can actually get mad at you and, you know, they're not used to it. And they're like, what's going on? Like, this is your role. And so like, we don't owe an explanation. We can just really just say no. And we don't owe any kind of excuses for anything. Like it's our life and our choice. And
yes,
people should not judge us or just like us just by what we can do for them. Like we're enough as we are. And even if we're flawed or make mistakes, we're still valuable as a person. We're still enough.
I like that. We're valuable just as we are. That's a very balanced place to be. You know, I think if we can dig in and just recognize our value and not be vulnerable, but be valuable and have that be the most forward in ours. You have, I love that you share this with people. You say it's not our responsibility for how others feel. Mm-hmm. Was that part of your journey to balance, becoming balanced, was to remove yourself from the responsibility of how other people react to you, saying yes or no?
Yes, that was really hard also because for one person who was in my life, a very important part of my life, I used to always fix their problems. If they were in trouble, like, you know, find a way to fix the problem for them, loan them money, just, like, do anything. And so really it was like I was kind of I felt like I was responsible for their life and making sure that they were okay always. And then there came a point where one day I just said, you know what, like, I'm not doing this anymore. You're an adult. This is not my problem. And that person actually did not talk to me for 2 years.
Wow.
So that was really an eye-opener. And then it took a long time for me to understand that I had done nothing wrong. I had just set a boundary, like a very clear, strong boundary. Mm-hmm. And I realized, like, I'm responsible for my own life, and I'm not responsible for this person and the choices that they made and to fix their issues. Like, I'm not. So, but their reaction was just unbelievable. Like, I was very, very shocked. So,
yeah, that was, and that throws you off.
It was hard to deal with that.
Yeah,
definitely.
Coming back into balance to, did you have to do your own healing process and bring yourself back into balance in self-care after when a situation like that happened? Because I'm assuming, like, listeners, if they are like, you know what, I am feeling this way, I'm going to have to set some boundaries and say no, and it's not going to be comfortable. But how do we self-love ourselves? How do we have self-care during that time? Like those 2 years, how'd you deal with that?
With that situation, I actually read some books that spoke to that exact topic, and that really helped me to understand that I wasn't alone, and this is actually a very common problem so that a lot of people have gone through. And so that just validated my feelings that I hadn't done anything wrong. And over time, the person came back into my life and we repaired the relationship, but I have very, very strict boundaries with that person now.
Oh, that is so, you know, and that may not happen for somebody else. Somebody else may never return to your life, but you were willing to, what allowed you, was it the trust in yourself? Like, what allowed you to let this person come back in to explore and to repair?
Just having like a boundary now. And if they cross the line, then I just pull back and I just tell them how I feel. And I tell them that that's not appropriate. And if they keep going this way, then I don't want them in my life anymore. So it's been, it's not perfect, but it's, you know, I would rather have them in my life than not. But like one thing with this particular person, I won't be alone with them ever, because I've noticed that if I'm alone with that person, they make comments that are very hurtful towards me. But if we're around other people, they won't do that because other people are there as witnesses. So
there's the,
and,
so
and
I actually
kind of come up with like tips and tricks like for the situation. So
it almost is allowing you to see their boundaries, which is interesting. I never thought about actually that before. Is that we teach other people our boundaries, but we also learn others. Like, ooh, if I go this far this way, do this, or if I say this, or don't complete a promise or something, that there's this response. And do you pay attention to other people's? Like, did you go from high alert to protection to maybe more now you're just being aware of other people's boundaries so that you can make your life better?
Yeah, I think just growing up where I did, I think I'm always going to be a little bit on high alert. Like, I always, like, in some ways, I always am aware of my surroundings. I always make sure all the doors are locked and just things like that. And I think I do try to get to know people really well, like on a deeper level, and just know like what makes them tick and things like that. And I mean, every relationship is totally different. So everyone has different boundaries as well too. But I think regardless of other people's boundaries, you have to be true to your own all the time.
Yes.
And just kind of make sure that they match up. Like, nothing's ever going to be perfect. Definitely not. So
because it's not just us alone in here. The I'm loving that you're really connecting balance to boundaries, because when it sounds like, you know, knowing them, stating them, and then working within them, right? Because how does it feel like, how does it feel to you if you were to go past your boundaries, like, and how do you bounce back to balance once you've passed them?
probably most of my life, I went past my boundaries. I used to do everything for anyone. And so actually a lot of the people who were in my life in the past are not in my life anymore. Maybe like on a very superficial basis. And I just found that they were kind of toxic relationships, and it was very one-sided a lot of the time. Like, just as an example, like if I would, for example, I threw a birthday party for someone and got a cake and, you know, made like a special day. And then when it was my birthday, they would just not even show up, like not even call, just like not show up at all. So just things like that, like as an example.
Yes.
Yeah. When you kind of go out of your way and do everything for anyone, and then you're not getting any kind of reciprocal treatment in return.
Right. So just really checking with the boundaries of like, am I getting out of this what I'm needing that best mm-hmm. serves me, that best supports me? For you, what was writing the chapter like? Did you, was it working through some of your own healing, or was it to share? So what was your purpose of writing the chapter?
I think I'd worked through most of the things. Like, there's about like probably 3 volumes of like a whole book that I could write about, to be honest. Just things that have happened in my life. So this is like a very, very brief overview, and it doesn't really go into any detail. But I think I've worked through most of the things probably in the last 5 years, like the last bits, and then quite a bit in my early 20s, so like 20 years ago. So
yeah. You shared, I love that you shared this, by the way, that how you got through some things was to read books, and then you didn't feel alone. Like you, it's like the world just kind of opened up and shined light on it and said, no, people have gone through this. That's okay.
Definitely, yeah.
First of all, do you remember any of the particular, like, you know, maybe you don't, because there's so much you can get out there. Was it more like you read from one person? Did you have a mentor kind of thing that helped you?
Really, like I went to see some speakers, and then just so many books, like about boundaries. I don't recall any exact titles right now, but just books about toxic relationships, setting boundaries. Just also a lot of motivational speakers, like Tony Robbins and people like that. I'm also in a group called the Achievement Club, and they had like a transformation weekend summit where we talked about setting goals, about boundaries, about failures, having balance, like all of those things. So just how we don't have to make excuses or give reasoning for anything we do. Like, it's our own life. And one thing that really stands out from that group is the sentence is called stay in your own lane. So just always... like kind of being the driver of your own life and not worrying about what other people are doing. You just, you know, putting yourself first, doing what's right for you. And then you will have negative people who are like, oh, you know, who do you think you are? You can't do that. Oh, you're crazy. You have crazy ideas. And just learning to not have those people kind of in your inner circle, like having really positive people, even if they don't like the same things as you like or have the same goals. Just somebody who says, wow, that's amazing. You want to be like a cat breeder. I don't even know. And they'll be like, wow, like that's such an amazing thing. I'm so happy for you. I'm so proud of you. Instead of someone who's like, oh, well, that's a stupid thing to think about. Yeah. You're not going to make any money. You're going to ruin your life, blah, blah, blah. Like you want to have just supportive people around you, definitely, like as much as possible.
And let people explore their ideas. Like, yeah, that's really a neat thing to do. Mm-hmm. Say, yeah, if it's funny you say cat person. I'm such a cat person. That's funny that you said that. I love that you said about in this achievement circle group that you're in, they talk about goals and failures, because that is so interesting. Mm-hmm. So they actually have a place with a boundary, because a goal is set at a certain place, right? A big achievement, and a failure would be considered, you know, outside of the boundaries as well, you know, like kind of thing. So that's so interesting the way I kind of envisioned that when you said about goals and failures, like it's some are within your boundaries and some aren't. Stay in your own lane. That is so perfect. I used to be a driver when I was in my own lane, but I was always like, oh, that guy wants to come in. And somebody would say,
but you don't have to let him in. I'm like, well, he really would like to. He's put a signal on. He's waiting. And then, you know, but I was like, but I'd have to slow down or speed up. And I would actually be consumed by this when I was driving, that I was so wanting to make sure all the other drivers were around me were happy where they needed to be. And I was like, oh my gosh, I am not even driving in my own lane the way I want to. And so I love that you said that. I no longer do that, by the way. But will you be writing a full book because now you've done this chapter?
I would really like to, actually, one day, but I think it will maybe in the next couple of years.
Okay. Do you teach this right now, or is it like, do you coach people, or are you just wanting to put the chapter out to make sure that people knew to read this?
No, I am working on a workbook, though, probably in the next few months, just about building a supportive community and kind of what I've learned from growing up in a community with really no support, kind of isolated, kind of without any guidance or mentorship, and kind of how I learned to find supportive people, supportive community, and how my life has changed completely just from that. Like, even, you know, if I believed in myself, it wasn't enough. Like, once I had a supportive group of people around me, just how my life just went from, you know, just kind of surviving and living to now, like, I can't even believe this is my life. Like, I'm so happy, and I'm going after all of my goals, and so many amazing things have been happening the past couple of years, and it's just incredible. So I'd like to kind of share how I found that group of support.
I think that is absolutely needed, so needed, because a lot of people can say, well, they just didn't have the support that they needed, or they just don't have that in that neighborhood or in their life, their hometown, their wherever. But we can build one. I thank you so much for offering that right now. That hope, that belief, like, hey, I don't have it, but I could build it. And I can't believe this is so perfect, because the one line I'm going to go back to my screenshot that I think you wanted. I'm quoting you now. I wanted more and was determined to make a better life for myself. The only problem was I didn't know how. That stood out to me so much. And what you just said right now is what people are saying. And I think that workbook on how to build a support system or supporting community or find your mentors is, oh, I can't wait for you to do that.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. Like, I grew up in severe poverty by Canadian standards, and like I wasn't involved in any activities or groups or sports, and I just see the difference now. I think I see it very clearly now because I have a daughter, and just looking at my life growing up, and she's 11 years old now, and just the change, like, for her. That's like my why, really, why I started to change my life, because I wanted her to have opportunities. I wanted her to have good self-esteem, self-confidence, and mentors and support, and just know that she's capable of doing anything she wants. And like, I never had that growing up, so that was really, really the key for me, and that's totally my why. And I've seen, you know, in real life now, like, she's accomplished so much, and it's because she's had mentors, she's had support, she's been connected to so many different communities, and she's, like, I took her to see Tony Robbins, I take her to the Achievement Club events, so she can learn about positive mindset, about it's okay to fail, and just see from all these other people who've accomplished amazing things, and like, I don't care what she does when she's older, what she does now, just whatever she's passionate about, I try to find someone who's kind of an expert or knowledgeable in the field, and then she can learn from them, and she just kind of goes after her own goals, and she's done so much, it's unbelievable, and it's all thanks to just support from mentors, really, and just having a supportive community, and also knowing boundaries, so she has very strong boundaries, so that's been something that's very important to teach her, that, you know, if you don't want to do something, you just say no. And so even to me, she says no all the time. So that's kind of
you're like, hey, I taught her really well.
Sometimes I'm like, well, she's like, well, why? And I'm like, because I said so. And she's like, no, Mom. She's like, that's not a reason. You have to give me an actual reason.
Well, you know, giving the reason actually helps her to define her boundaries and of the why. Mm-hmm. I love that. And I'm what I'm it like, does, but... And you know, so I'm first of all, thank you for being and leading in this way of being an incredible mom, an incredible supporter to your daughter, because you're actually helping so many more people because of her. And I'm really here. I love this, that, you know, balance for you, it really has a lot to do with boundaries and support systems. And as I have to say goodbye to you, which it always goes so fast, I've got about 30 seconds. Is there something you would love to share or invite people to connect with you or just get the book to read? What are your final comments on balance?
I just want to say, like, you come first always. So make sure your needs are met first. You're valuable. You know, it doesn't matter if you have flaws or you've made mistakes. You're valuable as a person. You don't owe anything to anyone, just yourself. You know, you come first. And then if you have something to give after that, then, you know, go right ahead. But you come first, not at the expense of other people's needs coming before you. So, and just to find supportive people. Like, if there's toxic people in your life, just put them to the back burner, and just you'll see your life will change completely change.
Oh, Lily, those are beautiful things. I want everybody to read Lily's chapter from What's Balance Got to Do with It. Thank you, Lily, so much for being with us here today on the first Big Show of Authors. All right, everybody, you know how to find your balance. And Lily and Aaron have shared it with us today. And join us not next Monday, but the next Monday, the third Monday of the month, where we continue with our co-authors of What's Balance Got to Do with It. And get your copy on Amazon now. Okay, bye, guys.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye. Thank you, Lily. Okay, bye.